It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said the patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson, and my gosh, it's amazing what 24 hours can do here right now with this coronavirus hysteria that's out there right now. So we're going to be talking a lot about this. We'll go through some headlines in this first segment. Second segment, Jack Maxey will be calling us. He is the he is the co-founder and director. Oh no, that's Abby. That's Abby here. Jack is the director and co-host of War Room Pandemic broadcast based out of Washington, D.C. And so we'll talk with him in the second segment. And then co-founder and director of clinical services for Bella Natural Women's Care and Family Wellness, Abby Sinnott, is in studio. It's great to have you here. And we'll talk about the coronavirus and some other things in the third and fourth segment. As we get into these issues, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And as we are in this mass hysteria right now, you can see that there will be a lot of force that will be coming in. As Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And that seems to me like what is happening with a lot of this mass hysteria on the coronavirus. I think it's important that we stay calm and carry on as Queen Elizabeth has said. We'll start off with our quote for the day, and it is Queen Elizabeth. And Elizabeth II is the Queen of the United Kingdom and the other Commonwealth realms. She's the first child of the Duke and Duchess of York, later King George VI and Queen Elizabeth, and she was educated privately at home. Her father acceded to the throne on the abdication of his brother King Edward VIII in 1936, from which time she was the heir presumptive. She began to undertake public duties during the Second World War, serving in the Auxiliary Territorial Service. In 1947, she married Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, and former Prince of Greece and Denmark, with whom she has 4 children, Charles, Anne, Andrew, and Prince Edward. She was born in 1926. She's 93 years old. And she says, "When life seems hard, the courageous do not lie down and accept defeat. Instead, they are all the more determined to struggle for a better future." And so that is Queen Elizabeth. She makes a lot of sense on that. As we look at these issues, again, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you should not need force to implement it. And our bill of the day is House Bill 20-1349. It is the Colorado Affordable Healthcare Option. And actually, there's all kinds of force words involved in that. It says, this is the bill summary, beginning January 1, 2022, the bill requires, that's your first force word right there, a health insurance carrier that offers an individual health benefit plan in the state to offer a Colorado option plan in the Colorado counties where the carrier offers the individual health benefit plan. The Commissioner of Insurance is required. There you go. And the other thing that you see there is the Commissioner of Insurance, which is a bureaucrat. This is somebody that is not elected by the people, so would not be up for election. And so we now will have an unelected bureaucrat that will be making these decisions. And it is required to develop and implement a Colorado option plan that must, one, be offered to Colorado residents who purchase health insurance in the individual market. Implement a standardized plan, and standardized is another word for equal, or as we see in Venezuela, everybody is equal in their misery. Allows a consumer to easily compare health benefit plans, like a consumer couldn't do that if there was transparency. Okay. Provides first dollar deductible coverage, provides a first dollar deductible coverage for certain services. Include the essential health benefits package, provide different specific levels of coverage, include a hospital rate formula, require hospital participation, require all these force words, a minimum medical loss ratio of 85%, require carriers and pharmacy benefit management to pass rebate savings through consumers. And it says the Colorado Option Advisory Board is created, again, those are unelected people, and is to advise and make recommendations to the commissioner on all aspects of the Colorado Option Plan. The bill authorizes the commissioner to promulgate rules, there you go, another force word, to develop, implement, and operate the Colorado Option Plan. And if a hospital refuses, this is where you really see it. If a hospital refuses to participate in the Colorado Option Plan, the Department of Public Health and Environment may issue a warning, impose fines, or suspend, revoke, or impose conditions on the hospital's license. Producer Steve, we talk about this. If this was a really good idea, you wouldn't have to have all those require words in there, nor would you have to have fines, revoke licenses, all those kinds of things. So if something is a good idea, you should be able to implement it without all the force. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, it seems to have higher costs written all over it. You just alluded to the people who were on the different boards and agencies who are unelected. Well, and they're also not doing it for free. So the administration of a plan like this is, you know, it's in your face. Yesterday, a couple times a month, several times a year, we do a live remote for one of our larger clients here at KLZ, and that's a group insurance analyst, Paul Inigro is the gentleman who owns the business. Now, Paul's been at this since 1984, and he knows what he's talking about. We talked about this yesterday, or Dan and Paul did. I just sit there and listen and look pretty. But, I mean, Paul's opinion is that this is nothing but a funneling mechanism to push us one step closer to single payer.
And what that will mean is that we will have those of you that have your are working with an individual insurance company, ultimately it's going to push them out of the state of Colorado. And we are seeing Colorado is at a real precipice at this particular point in time with all of these bad laws that are being proposed and passed down at the legislature. And people are reaching out to me and they're like, what can we do? And it seems that many of these these politicians are not really listening to the constituents. They have gotten into office and they think they know best how we should live our lives. And so these elections are going to be really, really important. And as many of you know, I have a number of women's groups throughout the metro area, and all of them are like, what can we do? And I'm coming up with a plan. And if you are interested in doing something about this, email me at kim@kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. Because I think we need to slow down the process of what is happening down there at the state legislature. And we need to be showing up. Certainly emails to the politicians is very important. But I think there's another step that we need to take on that. A couple of other things. Patty, I want to say thank you to this team that keeps this thing going, and that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate each of you listeners. You are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Patty had found this piece in the Colorado Sun. And when we just talked about this require word over here for hospitals, this is the real stick that they have. And in House Bill 1349, it's going to have $10,000 a day fines. Says per this article, up until now, lawmakers have never said exactly how they would compel hospitals to accept the public option. The bill lays out a series of increasingly stiff penalties that hospitals could face if they don't participate. The authority would reside in the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, which licenses hospitals in the state. At first, CDPHE would issue a warning to any hospital not accepting public option coverage, but that could escalate to as much as a $10,000 a day fine for a month, and then up to $40,000 a day for fines after that. If a hospital still won't participate, CDPHE could potentially suspend, revoke, or impose conditions on the license of any hospital not participating in the public option. Producer Steve, so if this is a really good idea, why would you have put in those kinds of penalties?
Well, it's a million-dollar question, and we ask it often. You quoted Rahm Emanuel earlier in the broadcast about never let a good crisis go to waste, because, well, okay, why? What is the because? What is he really thinking? What type of methodology is it behind that type of leadership that says, oh, we need to maximize the effect of a crisis? To do what? It's leverage. And so is all these types of issues regarding, well, how can we help the hospitals get in line? Well, we'll find them. We'll find the snot out of them. And as we talked about yesterday out at the group insurance analysis analysts, is that, and I'm losing my train of thought here, but you know, these types of fines, that level of bureaucracy levied on a hospital, it's like, well, what hospitals are going to feel it the most? Well, not so much here in the big city and the metro areas. They got deep pockets, but the smaller hospitals in the outlying areas in the smaller towns around Colorado, they'll be the first.
Okay, and we have Jack Maxey on the line, so I want to get to break here. Before I do that, though, Steve, as we are looking at this, we have seen that here in Colorado, they've been wanting to push towards single payer or the public option in healthcare. This is not the only industry. I mean, you can look across the spectrum. We continue to see more and more control. They want to control transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, healthcare. So if you look at this, at the way that they are dealing with the hospitals here, when we look at these fines, do we think that they wouldn't want to do the same thing on these other issues and to individuals as well throughout our lives? And America was founded on this idea that people could be free. Now, with freedom, there is a correlating duty. There's a responsibility with freedom as well. But if you don't think that they're going to use this heavy hand just on hospitals, but ultimately they will use it on you, if you do not participate, something, you know, X is going to happen to you. We are in a significant time here in Colorado. Colorado is leapfrogging, or that's not really the word I want to say, but we are leapfrogging over California and Washington and Oregon on what is happening there. And my friends, we need to stand up. So if you are interested in doing something about this, we are Americans. We need to stand up. Email me at kim@kimmunson.com. I've got a plan on something to do. And let's go to break. Before we do that, though, I was going to say that, you know, the Nuggets were doing well, but I guess they're not going to be playing anymore, Steve. Ha!
Yeah, this remains to be seen, because I guess we're going to put a temporary hold on the season. And basically, they didn't really define a time frame. So let's see where this goes.
Well, basketball fans, hopefully March Madness is going to occur. The place to watch all these games is Hooters Restaurants. So they've got specials going on. Grab 10 boneless wings and a Big Daddy beer for only $14.99. Bring in a group and grab 15 boneless wings served in any of their world-famous sauces or dry rubs, along with a pitcher of beer for just $20. And so what are you waiting for? Get your game on. More information, check out my website. As all you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I buy my airtime for both of my radio shows. And so I really value all of these sponsors. You can go there, and I highly recommend all of them. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Jack Maxey. He's the director and co-host of the War Room Pandemic Broadcast. They're based in Washington, D.C. Abby Sinnott is in studio. She's the co-founder and director of clinical services for Bella Natural Women's Care and Family Wellness. And we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Jack Maxey. He is the director and co-host of the War Room Pandemic Broadcast based out of Washington, D.C. Jack Maxey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm sorry about the circumstances.
It's wild out there, Jack. So tell us a little bit about War Room Pandemic, first of all.
Well, I work with Steve Bannon and have done for several years, and Steve's a real observer of China and what's been going on there. So late in December, I noticed some things going on in China. We began following it, and I would say I think it was the 22nd or the 23rd, we decided to just have a podcast and start covering it. And when we did that, I think there were 370 cases in China and 18 dead, and now you see it's everywhere. I mean, Italy is the number two country now with 12,000, and I think Italy now has 827 dead. So it's been an uncomfortable thing to watch this thing unfold, but really the math has been there all along, and it's surprising to me how behind the leadership of the world in every country has really been caught on their heels with this thing.
Now, comparatively, Patty, my researcher, had pulled some numbers, though, that we have significant numbers of people that have gotten the flu. We've had significant deaths. In fact, CDC estimates that from October 1st, 2019 to February 29th of 2020, there were anywhere from 34 to 49 million flu illnesses, 16 million to 23 million flu medical visits, 350,000 to 620,000 flu hospitalizations, and 20 to 52,000 flu deaths. So, I mean, we hadn't seen all the headlines for that. It seems to me, Jack Maxey, that the media is using this, I think, to really create a hysteria among people, try to bring the market down. Yesterday, the market went into official bear market territory. And, I mean, it seems to me like there's a hysteria out there that I'm concerned about. Tom Hanks and his wife Rita Wilson tested positive for the coronavirus. How would you address this, Jack?
Well, I think the key thing here is understanding, and panic is never going to solve any problem. And I think one of the reasons why if there is confusion and panic out there, it's because people are now surprised to think that we have a real problem. I mean, there have been 30 deaths, I believe, from those elderly care facilities in Seattle. Yesterday, they're saying that as many as 10 more elderly care facilities in the region have the virus in it. And so we can talk about the common cold or the flu, and that has a 1/10 of 1% mortality rate. This has at minimum 10 to 20 times that. So let's just say you look at the numbers and say, well, we lost 18,000 people. Well, what if it's 180,000 people? We only have 110,000 ICU beds in this country. Italy, for example, a first-tier country with decent health care, their ICU beds are overwhelmed. They're actually triaging patients there and deciding who is going to live and who's going to die. I think as we go into this, it behooves all of us to be very rational about what is going to happen. And look at the map of the world. This is spreading everywhere. Now, the key thing that I believe we need to do as individuals, as Americans, as members of our community, when they talk about social separation, this is not to keep everyone from getting the disease. This is, you have a parabolic curve of disease, right? You want to flatten that curve out, because if that curve of disease, the number of infected, goes through the line of the number of hospital beds, then you put your entire healthcare system into absolute crisis. And this means people with heart attacks, people who may need constant care for, say, cancers or even require dialysis, will not be able to be treated in the normal fashion. And so these are really real concerns, and this is why everyone says all hands on deck, and it's true. I unfortunately wish that some of these truths were more widely known, say, 2, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, a month ago, because it's all been published. I mean, you have Gabriel Ling at Hong Kong University said 60 to 70% of the world's population is going to get this. Now, no matter what mortality rate you want to use, and hopefully in a first-tier country like America, it's going to be down under 1%. But currently in Italy, they're pulling like a 6% mortality rate based upon the people who've been tested. Now, normally the people who are going to be tested first are the people showing symptoms, so maybe you're missing a lot of the asymptomatic crowd, and the mortality rate is considerably lower. But even at 1%, if 60% of the United States population is infected, you're talking about massive numbers. And I think it was shocking when Fauci pointed that out yesterday before the House. I say to a lot of people that I think the really important thing that we need to do here, obviously there's going to be economic consequences, but people need to be emotionally prepared for what's coming. And it's not going to happen the same in every city or every town. Some are going to be much worse than others. Some may even escape it pretty much altogether. But those places where it hits hard and where community transmission is occurring on the street have a real danger of being overwhelmed. I mean, this is a time right now where, you know, we've spent the last 20 years talking about Green Berets and Navy SEALs, and the real heroes in the next months are going to be our healthcare professionals who are going to be under enormous pressure. And, you know, we should all put a hand out to them and give them support, in my opinion.
So what are you saying that people should do?
I think that people need to reduce their contact with other people. For example, doesn't mean that you go into hibernation. It simply means instead of going to the grocery store every day of the week, you go one day a week, because that reduces your overall exposure for the week. Probably we're going to see inside many cities in America, they're going to start closing bars and restaurants, theaters, Broadway. I mean, the NCAA tournament is going to be played to no fans. And these are things that you could see coming if you just understand how the mathematics of it, the exponential growth of this, is going to play out. And it's going to be a real trial for the country. And I think that if there's anything positive that can come out of it, is that we as Americans pull together and put some of the partisan things to the side, because we're going to have to.
You know, Jack Maxey, my producer, Steve, and I, as I was driving in today, you know, I said to him, I said, you know, we're going to find out in 30 days, you know, what really is going on here. We're either going to have a whole bunch of deaths, or we're going to say, you know what, this was blown out of proportion. I don't know the answer to that for sure, Jack. But I think one of the things that we are recognizing, and I hope people will recognize that, is how much we have taken for granted in the United States. Here in Colorado, we have legislation that is being passed, that's being proposed, that is really socializing all kinds of things. We have had laws out here that is basically kicking the oil and gas industry out of Colorado. And people, I think, take it for granted when they've gone to the grocery store. You know, when I was a kid, there wasn't much fresh produce in the winter, because
I agree. Same with me.
I think young people think, gosh, electricity comes from, you just turn on the lights. And so I think that we're going to have a real awakening. I think that it is a real opportunity for us to step back and look in America what we have and what we can be grateful for. One of my other shows that I do is America's Veteran Stories. I've interviewed over 120 World War II veterans. And we are Americans. And we step up. And so we cannot panic. I think you're right. I think we need to be realistic. But if we are fomenting mass hysteria here, we're going to crash our markets. We're going to crash the American idea. I think that there are those, as I mentioned Rahm Emanuel. He says, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so I think if we close all these bars and restaurants, and we could really crash the economy. And if we do that, people are going to go hungry, and they're going to die from all kinds of other things. So what's your comment on that, Jack?
Well, I think that I was listening to your earlier piece, and you're talking about government intervention and healthcare and everything. I think one of the things that's going to become clear to every American who has eyes to see it is the limitations of federal government's ability to take care of every aspect of your life.
Good point.
The National Pandemic Plan devolves down to your local hospital and your local community. There is no plan for the federal government to show up and pick up the slack in your local hospital. There's a National Pandemic Plan that has been written and on the books since 2005 to date. And they've given between $8 and $12 billion to the states and the cities to create supplies and to create inventory for just this purpose. To date, there's basically not one city or one state in America that has done all the five steps necessary to be prepared. So, you know, this is going to be one of those situations where the people of Colorado, the people of Wyoming, Montana, they've got to pull together. And they're going to have to begin to realize that as local communities, they're going to have to work as a local community to solve some of these problems, because the feds aren't going to be able to save anybody. They're overwhelmed. They've got the national command structure that they're responsible for. They can't get to Des Moines. So this is something that people need to do. And I think if I was a faith leader or if I'm a local community leader, and you don't have any cases in your city or your state, that doesn't mean that they're not coming. And I always say, look, you train like you fight. We don't teach a kid, a young man, riflery on the battlefield. We teach him riflery in boot camp. And every single municipality has to open up the equivalent of boot camp so that the local responders in that community are ready. And we've defined responsibility. We've defined overflow care sites. This is more serious, I think, than anybody is accepting that it is. And I believe it is going to create a real existential crisis for a lot of people, because it's been 100 years since we've dealt with something like this.
Wow. Well, Jack Baxey, I really appreciate you joining the show. And we'll check back with you as this continues on. So thank you so much. This is Jack Baxey. He is the director and co-host of War Room Pandemic Broadcast, based out of Washington, D.C. So, Jack, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. It's going to be, I think, another very interesting day in the market with the NBA suspending the season and just all of this that's going on. What do you think, Jason?
Well, you know, it is very interesting to see the reactions, and of course President Trump shut off all incoming travel from Europe starting Friday, which was another pretty big move. The markets spooked again this morning. Right now the futures are down about 1,200 on the Dow, Kim, which I think is the limit. I think we've hit the lock limit on the futures, so it's likely trading might be halted right when we open, and then we'll see what happens after it reopens. But I mean, admittedly, I think that this has turned into a much bigger sell-off than most of us would have expected. It's not surprising to see the number of cases increasing very, very quickly. We knew that was going to happen. But, the market is going to be extremely unhappy today.
Okay. So it's like,
I wish I could give you some good news after listening to the last fellow. But, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And, as I talked to Steve and as I was walking with Abby today, I have this voice that says this is all going to be okay. It's going to be rocky, but as a Christian, I know this is all going to be okay. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. I think there's going to be a lot of tough stuff happening, but I think people need to not panic, because if we panic, it's like, you're going to create a stampede. I think we're seeing that in the market right now. But, as Queen Elizabeth said, it says, stay calm and carry on. So don't panic right now. Just, stay calm. And I know it's going to be okay, Jason McBride.
Well, everything will be okay one way or the other. And I hope that you're right, Kim. I don't want to see us panic as a society. You know what I? You know, you don't want to see looting and that kind of thing start either. Which, you know, that happens sometimes when things like this occur. So you say there's opportunity. There may be. You know, let's be cool and not take advantage of trying to make an opportunity where it's not the right thing to do.
Right. And so I would highly recommend that as we go through these tough times, you know, Jason, you were very smart. What was this when the market was at its high? You had said, you know, maybe what you might want to do is take some out of the market and plan accordingly. This is a time of great opportunity. When it's so scary like this, there is great opportunity. I would highly recommend that people reach out to you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management and sit down and talk about your plans, because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so reach out to Jason at airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. Or at the switchboard, Natalie will be there at 7:30. That's 303-694-1600. I know it's going to be rocky today, Jason. I wish you, it's not easy what you guys are doing right now, you know, because people are concerned. And, you know, I appreciate it, and I recommend that people reach out to you.
All right. Well, I'm going to take my ulcer pills. You know, I'm going to go buy some hair color because they'll be even grayer soon, what's left of it. And, you know, that's how we'll take care of ourselves, right?
That's for sure. Thanks, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we have Abby Sennett in studio with me. She is a director and co-founder of Bella Women's Natural Healthcare and Wellness. And we'll talk a little bit about the coronavirus, but there's some other things. We'd actually planned to have you on before this about some other things that's happening down at the Senate, or down at the State House. So we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. And if you are interested in doing something to push back on the craziness that is occurring down at the Colorado State Legislature, email me at kim@kimmunson.com. In studio with me is Abby Sennett, and she is the director and co-founder of Bella Natural Women's Care and Wellness, right? Did I have that right? Thank you for being here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Boy, that conversation with Jack Maxey kind of is whacking me out a little bit.
You know, it makes your heart rate a little increased, but yeah. I think that it's important to just like bring that back down a notch.
Okay, let's do that.
I mean, there is so much fear that can come from the unknown, and so much fear. I have patients often tell me like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. We do you know, pregnancy and miscarriage and all kinds of, you know, different kinds of care over at Bella. And it's the unknown in some of those circumstances that can make people just really uncomfortable in their skin. And I think in this circumstance, it's the unknown that can be so fear provoking. Mm-hmm. But fear begets fear, begets fear, begets fear. And that's where we end up today in mass hysteria about this. But I think it's good to know from like a healthcare side of things, when you go to your doctor's office, when you're looking at the hospitals here, people are making precautions. People are doing things that need to be done to keep people safe. And so you look at, you know, the hospitals, they're, you know, bringing down visitors. They're, you know, closing the units so that people who are sick are not getting more sick. And people who come to visit are not getting sick. But these are things that we do anyway. And I was just explaining this to a patient yesterday, that every year at this time, we shut down the units. We lock things down. We reduce the number of visitors. We reduce the number of hands in the pot so that people aren't getting sick. This is not new to us. When it's flu season, when it's RSV season, we protect our people. And I think healthcare is doing the exact same thing that we've always done. We protect our people. We put our masks on. We close the units. We keep things safe. And so I think it's good to have confidence in the people who you know, the people that you've gone to. We've done medicine all over the world, the providers from Bella. And one of the things that we are so blessed with is really, really good healthcare here. We are blessed with people who have data, make decisions based on data, and take care of people based on data. And so that is an important thing to remember, that we are very blessed and people are making very smart decisions to keep each other safe. And in general, the rest of us need to wash our hands and not be spreading our snot to people.
There you heard it from a healthcare professional. So yes, definitely. Do not panic. Fear of the unknown, it can really get you whacked out. In the Bible, it says do not fear many, many, many times.
Yes.
And so
365, I think.
Okay. So do not fear. No. But that doesn't mean that you don't take precautions, wash your hands, but we need to continue to live life. 9/11, what President Bush at that time said is continue to, go out and eat and, keep this economy going. Now the recommendations are, we heard Jack Maxey, don't go out to eat. The bars and restaurants are going to close. I'm kind of concerned about that, Abby Sinnott.
Yeah, I do think that I disagree in some ways. I think that we need to be smart. We need to, be aware of our circumstances, our family circumstances, and try not to spread things. But I think it's still okay to be involved in our economy. We need it. Our country needs it. So if you are immunocompromised, meaning you have chronic illness, you maybe aren't the person to go out and be all about things. Mm-hmm. If you are in that high-risk population, so, over 70 or ill, don't be that person that goes out. But the rest of us who are healthy people, our body knows how to fight things, and trust in that. Trust that our body will fight that and keep carrying on.
Mm-hmm. The coronavirus is not new, though, right?
No, it's not. It's been in the United States for years. This is just a new strain. And so I think it's important to know that. Like the coronavirus itself is a virus that we all have seen, but this is its own particular strain that we're trying to figure out what to do with.
Okay, and the common cold, isn't that a coronavirus as well?
It falls in the same family, or okay. It can fall in that same family, depending. There's so many viruses and so many strains of viruses. Okay. But our bodies can fight things.
And so stay calm, do not fear, and carry on. And as you mentioned, though, take precautions.
Yeah.
And, it's just good hygiene to wash your hands.
For sure. Wipe things down. Yeah. Clean things up. This is a great, in our office, we're taking it like, wow, this is a great opportunity to do our spring cleaning.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So let's talk a little bit then about this piece of legislation that we had pulled, our bill of the day, House Bill 2013-49. And they're calling it the Colorado Affordable Healthcare Option. Actually, it will increase, the cost will increase. The quality will probably go down, and the supply becomes limited. So this is a coronavirus of healthcare providers, I think, or something like that. So tell us what you see, though, Abby Sinnott.
Yeah, when it comes to the bill, in terms of insurance payers, I have concerns about that particular bill, just because those of us in medicine who choose to have a conscience in our medicine, that really could put a lot of restrictions towards us in that particular bill. And so we have worries from a, pro-life side of things or a healthcare side of things, that we could be forced to have to do things that we don't have, that doesn't feel right and is not within our conscience. In terms of more the vaccination bill, my concerns with that is that we're putting a lot of trust in people that we don't necessarily know who that's going to be. I think that there are a lot of people who have concerns about the vaccination bill specifically, that maybe this is, you know, bringing us down and not being able to have, you know, exemptions for non-medical versus medical. And so that's concerning for some people. Some people are concerned that they're going to have to comply if they don't want to comply when they're talking about the vaccination bill. For healthcare providers, you know, they're concerned about, are we going to be in trouble if we have to sign things that we don't want to sign? Do we have to sign things we have to sign? And so there's just kind of concerns from all kinds of different angles. And at the end of the day, it's just a rough bill in the sense that there's so much not defined. Mm-hmm. And so much gray.
Well, and what we're talking about on this, and please go to my website. I did an op-ed on this. It's titled, I Am Not an Anti-Vaxxer. Because we've seen in this narrative really putting people into boxes. Excuse me, my friends, whenever we start to put people into boxes, put people into groups, that is a very dangerous place to be. America is a country of individuals, not groups. And so I wrote this piece regarding I Am Not an Anti-Vaxxer, and we're talking about this piece of legislation. It's Colorado Senate Bill 2163. And Abby, you hit something there, and one of the things I'm really concerned about is this gives the power of somebody that is not elected and accountable to the people in the future to dictate what we put into our bodies. And I think that no matter where you are on the political spectrum, that should be pretty darn scary. Something else that we've realized with this coronavirus is that at least 80% of our pharmaceuticals and our vaccinations are coming from China. Mm-hmm. The coronavirus, COVID-19, came out of China. And so I think it's just not prudent that we would want to give somebody unelected in the future the power to say that we would have to put something from China in our bodies. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, so I'm really with you. I'm not anti-vaccine. We at Bella are, you know, very for vaccine, but we're also very for the individual. And every person has a story, and every story impacts their care. And so those decisions really need to be a personal decision based on what's going on with each person. And so we're never going to force anything on anybody. And I think that that's the concern that a lot of people have with this, is there's a lot of force going on with this. And whether that's force to do or force to not do or force to sign off or whatever, there is so much ambiguity in this that it doesn't help anybody to have confidence. I think that if they were super confident in this module, per se. Uh-huh. One of the things that comes out of this bill is that they're going to require anybody who does not get vaccinated, you either need to get a medical clearance or you need to take this or do this class, this module. You know, when I'm reading through this and I'm looking through this, gosh, if they had so much confidence in this module, they would make everybody do it. They would make everybody look at it. But only the people who do not fit this agenda have to look at it. And so that's my concern, is that if we are so confident in these vaccines, if we are so confident in this plan that they, whoever they are, have, you know, we would all be open to it. It would all be like this great thing. But there's a lot of concern and there's a lot of gray in it.
And we say this on the show all the time, if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force
it.
Correct. So Abby Sinnott, let's go to break. There's a few other things that we need to let our listeners know that is very, very important. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. And there is craziness going down at the Colorado State Legislature. We've been pulling a bill a day, and it's amazing all the force that we are seeing. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force it. And another thing that is happening, there's different bills that are giving young people it's putting into law that young people don't have to talk to their parents about a number of different things. And it could be mental health. It could be there's a bill down there regarding, I think it is, 12-year-olds can actually have the HPV vaccine without their parents knowing. And HPV is sexually transmitted. And some people don't want to have that. And so it's taking the parents out of this and letting the kids make a decision. But it's putting in the law, this into law, so that it's going to protect people that might be doing something with these kids. And Abby, there's a story that I'd heard that happened at Bella, and I think it should strike terror in parents' minds right now. And tell us about that.
Yeah, as a parent of four daughters, as a mom of four daughters, I definitely have concern about it. So we had a young girl come into the office and with her mom, and basically what had happened is she's at a local school here in the city, and the school
was it a public school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the school district has clinics within them that kids can go and receive health care from, and so this girl went into the clinic at her school. She's 14, and she was, you know, just complaining that she had cramps, and so the healthcare provider in the clinic was like, oh, okay, we can fix that for you. Did not offer her ibuprofen, did not offer her anything else. I mean, like my kids, if they have a headache, they need Tylenol, right? They would call me for this. Uh-huh. But yet for this, it's its own thing. And so
okay, so just a question. I think that I had heard that you have to get permission to give them a Tylenol, right?
Oh, for sure. Yes, you have to sign off your life away to get a Tylenol. And like even a bump on a head, you're going to get a call from the school nurse that your kid got a bump on the head. But this girl came into the office and she said, you know, I have cramps. And the healthcare provider in this clinic said, oh, okay, I have something for you. And she put in a Nexplanon into her arm. And so a Nexplanon, for those who don't know, is a long-acting contraceptive that goes into the child's arm or the woman's arm that provides long-acting birth control for 3 years. And so it stays in there. It overrides the system with a constant progestin that flattens out the cycle. And so it just like takes away the cycle. But it's contraceptive.
Did the girl know that's what it was?
I don't believe that she did. She was just like, they just told me this would help with my cramps. Okay. And so the girl, went in there, got that thing in her arm, came home to her mom and was like, hey, look, they helped me take care of my cramps. They put this in my arm. And the mom is like, what the heck? What happened? And learned about it, figured out about it, and learned that this was a contraceptive device that was put into her child's arm without her knowledge. And this mom that day called us to get it taken out. And so 2 days later, we took it out. But as a mom of four daughters, gosh, it makes me super concerned to know that my kids could go anywhere at any point and get anything that they wanted in the realm of reproductive health. And in Colorado, that is the truth. It already is the truth that reproductive health is its own thing that young people can do without their parents' consent.
And to that point, Colorado, a lot of people don't realize this, that Colorado is one of the most aggressive states regarding abortion. It is mind-boggling.
And contraception.
Okay, it is mind-boggling that we can have abortions that can be conducted right up until the day of birth.
Correct.
Abby, I didn't realize that.
Yes, there are providers in the state, specifically like in Boulder area, that people can go up to right up until, you know, term.
And, you know, I think something has happened really regarding this. But as you know, there is a question that we hope will be on the ballot. It's called Due Date Too Late. Each person will need to come to terms with where they are on this whole abortion issue, because it says that after 22 weeks, it's too late to do an abortion. And there are so many people out there that would love to have a baby.
Yeah.
And so every person in Colorado will have to ask that question of themselves. What do they think about that? Is that okay that we in fact would abort a viable baby at this time. And then, I think it's going to be a very important conversation, because Planned Parenthood, when they first started this whole thing, they said, oh, it's just a blob. And we're realizing it's not. It's a baby.
No, it's just a baby. And that baby at 22 weeks, you know, is pushing a pound. And it has arms and legs and fingers and toes. I was just in the office this last week, and we were working with a woman to reverse her decision with her abortion pills. And her baby was 12 weeks, and she had no idea that she could see the baby's hands. She had no idea that she could see the baby's feet and it wiggling all around. And that is a baby. And at the end of the day, that is an important decision that really I hope that our voters will make this year.
So we hope that it gets on the ballot. It's in the curing period right now. You just said something. Did you just say you were reversing something?
Yeah. So
tell me about that.
Yes. So our practice is a practice that will reverse the abortion pill, the RU486. The way that works, the science behind that, is it inhibits progesterone, which is the hormone of pregnancy, progestation, right? Okay. And so it inhibits progesterone, and so it disrupts the lining of the pregnancy. And if we catch that within 48 hours of them taking the medication, we can give them high dose progesterone, which is that hormone, to reverse that. It is definitely off label, but there is good data that it shows that it doesn't. And people will argue that the American Congress of Obstetrics and Gynecology are concerned that, you know, that this is not studied or whatever, but it has been studied, and there have been hundreds of women who have done this and have done it successfully. At Bella, we are constantly doing one. All the time. There is somebody who is reversing or going through a pregnancy that has been reversed. And in the 5 years of being open, we have reversed several pregnancies and have beautiful babies because of that.
Wow. Yeah. That is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So tell us just a little bit more about Bella. This is pretty amazing.
Yeah, Bella Health and Wellness. Now we kind of transitioned this year to Bella Health and Wellness. We started in 2012 as an obstetrics and gynecology practice that was just really committed to the dignity of women and providing health care that was beautiful and preserved the woman. And because of our natural approach, because of our approach to just recognize that every woman has a story, women just invited their families, and they were like, wow, this is a different place. We want you to take care of our husband and our kids. And so ultimately in 2012, we added family wellness, and that has just grown and grown. And so now we are Bella Health and Wellness, caring for women, men, children, obstetrics, gynecology, and just doing that with a really natural approach, but with dignified healthcare that's science-based.
Well, and how I found you is my valued partner, Jason McBride,
had
recommended that we get connected, and appreciate that. I want to circle something around here. You know, everybody's whacking on the coronavirus, and we don't know what the numbers are going to be for sure. And, you know, every life is valued and treasured, and so we need to realize that. But, my friends, you need – I had taken a look at – we had this conversation – a few weeks ago, from the World Health Organization, 125,000 abortions are done every day throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
3,000 abortions per day here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we're whacking around about the coronavirus, but yet we are aborting our children at an alarming rate.
Thousands and thousands, yes.
I think we need to put that into perspective, Abby.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so, so sad. And that doesn't even take into consideration all those pills that are very quietly given in the quietness of an OBGYN office that doesn't advertise abortion, that's not Planned Parenthood, that's just a quiet OB practice or a private family practice that's just handing those girls that pill.
Okay. And so there's other options. And I think Juliana Day, who was really the one that's spearheading Due Date Too Late, she said that we need to look at this abortion issue, though, as compassion, with a lot of compassion and without judgment, because I think that after this decision is made, that there is hurt in women's hearts. So I think that we need to look at it with compassion and not be judging on it.
For sure. And I have not worked with a single woman who was like, gosh, I don't like babies. you know, or gosh, I don't want a baby. The circumstances in a woman's life are so hard, and making the decision to terminate a pregnancy or to terminate that situation is so hard, and it's a situation and a decision that never comes lightly in those women's lives, and to walk with them, to love them, to care for them is so important.
And so, Bella, are you still taking on new patients?
Absolutely.
So how can people find you?
Yeah, give us a call, 303-789-4968, or go to our website, bellanwc.org.
Well, it's a pretty amazing practice. I've been over there and seen it, and it is a very special place. You walk in the door, and it is what healthcare, I think, is supposed to be like in America. And Abby Sinnott, thank you. And so you've got your uniform on. You're going to be going off to see patients later today.
Yep. Thank you so much.
So with that, it's been an interesting show. And I think it's very important that we stay calm and that we don't give in to all of this fear that's going on. And then we be wise. We make sure that we wash our hands, maybe turn the TV off. That might be a good thing as well.
And social media.
Social media, I think it might be a good idea not to look at that. Steve, any final comment on anything there?
No, just taking it all in. I think, Jack kind of caught me off guard on a couple things, but, you guys have, you've laid it out there, especially on how to proceed.
Okay, so Queen Elizabeth says, stay calm and carry on. We're going to add on, turn off social media and turn off TV. So today, read great books. Do this. Yeah, read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Like a new moon rising, fierce.